Welcome to the Horns of Light Chronicles. Peter Berbalis chronicles his family story, prophecy, and testimony. God's story unfolds from his grandfather in Lithuania, Nazi Germany, the Russian Revolution, to Ronald Reagan and the fall of the Berlin Wall, the gospel spreading across to Eastern Europe, how God called Peter to Petra, Jordan, and so much more as prophecy and testimonies unfold. And now the Horns of Light Chronicles. Welcome to the Horns of Light podcast again. And you may be wondering, you know, like, what happened in Pete's life that it somehow now has impacted you? And you might even be wondering, what does Horns of Light mean? And so we're following this story because, you know, it's very interesting. I did a Passover Seder last night, and they have a guide that you go through called a Haggadah. And that Haggadah is actually the word for parable, because the whole story of Passover and a Seder dinner is a parable for something that's going on in your own life, because it all has to do with freedom. But again, in all our lives intersect in certain ways. And so if you're listening to this podcast, means that now Pete's life is going to intersect with your life. But in understanding the story, you relate to certain aspects of how God's intersected in your life in different places. And so, taking from where we left off, Pete, let's get going.
Sure. And that really is a good theme to start with, because the story today really truly is a parable in my life that has played out over decades. And kind of wrapping up from last week, the theme was forgiveness and what the Lord can do through that, and how he works that into our lives. And Genesis 25:8 was always a difficult verse for me to read, because I couldn't see how Abraham could walk this earth 175 years and breathe his last breath and be satisfied with life. That was just a concept that really was difficult to understand, that somebody could be satisfied with life, having traversed this earth for that long of a time. The power of forgiveness, it really is a beautiful thing. But today we'll get into a little bit of kind of continuing on that story in Carbondale. Came to the Lord, and then had an interesting experience. Coming home one day, and right around this time, they had asked if I would participate in a parade, and went. I think it was homecoming weekend. Chi Alpha was the name of the organization that was involved with, and they'd have Friday night services. And so hesitantly, I said yes, and ended up being the one to hold the banner at carrying the parade. And it was just people praising God and handing out, I don't remember if it was tracts or Bibles, to all the bystanders. And it just kind of come to faith in Christ. And one of my old party friends saw me holding the sign and just started taking pictures and saying, I'm going to send this, you know, to all of our friends. And it was just the Lord had kind of put me in a position to test my willingness to acknowledge him in public as Savior. So it was shortly after that, was walking to my dorm room one day, and just kind of got into my dorm room, was all by myself, and just felt the Lord had told me, or prompted me, that he wanted me to prostrate myself on the ground of my dorm room. So I had just prostrated myself, laid flat, and just began to pray. And I really felt, I don't know, thought, voice, however you want to describe it, just really felt this thought that I knew wasn't my own come in and said, confess your sins. And so, you know, I said, I've fornicated, I've used drugs. And that same voice came back again and said, confess your sins. And just said, I've denied Christ. And when I said that, there was this welling that came up from inside, from my belly, basically, and came up and out. And my tongue began to flail within my mouth and didn't really have a context. And there was just this incredible presence of God and this peace, I guess you could call it the peace that passes all understanding, that just filled me, and my tongue began to flicker, and didn't fully understand exactly how or what, but some would describe that as the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and as gave kind of breath or wind to that language had developed, and that's kind of a prayer language that has been instrumental in my life. And as I was still on the floor and that, you know, kind of taking in that experience, Matthew 3:6 kept running in my mind, like a best way I could describe it, like a record that was just repeating, and it just wouldn't stop. Matthew 3:6. And I had no knowledge for what Matthew 3:6, and I don't think most people would. It's just kind of a vague verse in the Bible. So I got up and looked up what Matthew 3:6 was, and it kind of described or summarized the experience. And it was, and they were baptized in the Jordan as they confessed their sins. And later that week, went to Chi Alpha Friday, that Friday night, and the pastor kind of said, I really feel there's a testimony that somebody needs to share. And I chickened out and didn't say anything about what had happened. It was just kind of different. And afterwards, though, I had gone up to talk to him and just let him know kind of what had happened. And his friend was there, and his friend had given tours in Israel for many years and lived in Israel. And he kind of told me Jordan, the meaning of the word Jordan, and Jordan means descent or descender. So he kind of described what had happened, that Christ had kind of descended and baptized in the Holy Spirit. And that's even later on in that chapter when you read Matthew 3 on Christ is telling John to baptize him. And John kind of says, here is one who will baptize the Spirit and fire. And that's kind of been a little bit of a prayer lately, is Lord, what does the baptism of fire that's mentioned in that passage mean? And a little bit of trepidation also asking for that in my own life. And it's just kind of interesting how that story even played into our life. And I guess along that parable line, when we had talked a little bit about this in the background, and you had mentioned that your grandfather's, you know, we talked about the Jordan River and Mount Hermon and Peter's confession of Christ and that whole thing, and your grandfather's name ended up being Hermon, and ends up being a parable and kind of a more of a story that later on went to Petra Jordan, and just kind of ends up being a parable that that plays on in life. So in later times we'll get a little bit more into that, but I would just encourage people in prayer and the power of prayer, kind of in that community there at Southern Illinois University. It was just an incredible experience, and kind of the only time in my life when I got to see a community transformed. There was such an agreement in the body of Christ with that pastor, and there was also a Baptist pastor, and they agreed to pray regularly. And then every day before classes in the mornings, we at the church, they'd have people that would come together and pray. And it was the only time that I got to experience the transformation of a town. Halloween at Southern Illinois University, you can look it up online. During those days, there'd be cars tipped over and burned, and just crazy, crazy demonic stuff that would transpire as a result of the big party. People would come from colleges all across the U.S. For this night of revelry, basically. And as I really believe, as a result of the prayers and the unity that happened as a result of churches coming together and praying and seeking the Lord to change the atmosphere of that college, they ended up basically the businesses finally said enough. You know, there's just too much going on here. Too many kids are getting hurt, and they decided to institute a fall parade for us. So, no, during Halloween, kids were sent home, and that kind of brought an end to that. And just kind of also got to see, there was a janitor there by the name of Clyde, and he would just, he was just, he'd have incredible stories. So he'd just be sitting there doing his work, and the Lord would kind of give him a vision of a girl sitting on a stone on the other side of campus that was crying, and he'd go to his supervisor and say, "Hey, can I take my break now?" And just as he saw, there'd be that girl sitting on the other side of campus, and he'd tell her about the Lord, and she'd come to the Lord. And even Muslims, Southern Illinois at that time had a huge international population, and it led a Muslim to the Lord. And then his Muslim brothers came to him and were kind of getting ready to threaten him. And he told, the boldness of the Lord came on him, and he said, "You didn't come here to tell me about Islam. You came here to receive Christ." And that group had given their life to Christ, and just really got to see the book of Acts in action. Another story that happened was there was a group in a dorm that had started getting into Ouija board, and one of the guys was on the track team, and it was one of those things where, you know, it came up that he was going to hurt his foot on a certain day, and it happened, and they kind of opened up Pandora's box. So they called up my pastor. They had contacted the church, and all this crazy stuff was going on, demonic stuff, and they asked him to come, and was there that day as he was speaking to all these kids in this dorm room, and they all ended up giving their life to Christ. And he kind of just explained to them that you've opened up Pandora's box, and the only way out of this is through Jesus. And so it was just an incredible time of seeing incredible things and stories. And one other story, again, a huge international presence. There was an Asian young man who had literally seen a demon show up in his apartment and kind of walk through the wall. So we called up the pastor, and it was that same thing that young man ended up giving his heart to the Lord. And we used to have a lot of international students that came through, and he had to rebuild his church every 4 years. So as a result of people graduating, so it was just a kind of a call on his life to quickly raise up and disciple people. Design for Discipleship was the book that we would use on Saturdays and have our meetings in small groups. He had it divided up to people that he'd mentor, and then those people would disciple others. And many of these people went back to their countries, and some became evangelists in their countries, and many lives that ended up coming to know Jesus as a result of the ministry of a man being obedient to the call of God on his life, and going to be a campus pastor at Southern Illinois University. And maybe one other story as far as the power of prayer, and kind of interesting coincidence, I guess you could say, was with my dad in Texas, and this lady had, we were flying to see my brother, and we were in an airport getting our luggage, and this lady came up to my dad from his church and just started talking, and my dad introduced her to me, and she basically just said, "I remember you." And there was this organization called Convoy of Hope, and they would do this outreach right before school starts, of giving out school supplies, and then they'd funnel people through the tent at the end, and if they didn't know Christ, you'd talk to them about Christ and share Christ, and if not, you just ask them what their prayer needs were and pray with them. And my dad and I kind of got to team up in the tent. That's what we enjoyed doing at the end, was being in that prayer tent. And she just said at that airport, she was just like, I remember you prayed for me at that tent in Marquette Park, at that outreach. And you know, one of those things, had no memory what was even said or no memory of her, but for whatever reason God allowed a prayer to be said that impacted her life. And after she left, my dad kind of told me the story of her and just said that her and her family, after that outreach, started coming to the church, and he said they kind of had become pillars of that church. So just an encouragement, and can say, you know, praying at restaurants for waitresses or wherever the Lord has, just the power of prayer is real. And although we may not fully understand or get to see the impact of our prayers on people's lives, I think we'll be amazed in eternity what the Lord did and how he used those prayers to bring people into the kingdom and to impact their lives. And
wow, I hate that. We're at that point again where we get to hear the rest of the story later. But again, I'm so grateful for all of you listening, and certainly Peter for sharing your story, because again, those stories are all intersecting now, and maybe and hopefully you saw something in there where you can share the good news this Easter time with somebody. Thanks, Pete.
Amen. Thank you.